Romans chapter 11 is our text, and this morning we're going to continue in our study from the book of Romans, and we're going to see what the Lord has to say to us regarding people that are different than us. Some of you here this morning, and in the early service, you combine that with what we have here, anywhere between 14, 15, 1600 people, and I'm sure in a congregation this size, you're worshiping with somebody that you're really not quite sure about. Maybe you know them by reputation. Maybe you see them across the auditorium. Maybe you passed them as you were walking in the hallway, and you're thinking to yourself, why are they here? Maybe they've wronged you. Maybe in a church this size, somebody's done something against your family. Maybe they owe you money. Maybe there's something that's happened and you're saying to yourself, man, I just cannot worship at this church with that person here. Well, I want to show you that every church has her problems. Even the church in Rome. I don't care if it's a church back then, a church now, or a church in the future. Anytime you're in relationship with people, there are going to be problems. You know, even in the smallest churches, there are problems. The same was true in Rome. You see, let me describe for you what was happening, and this will help you understand Romans 11. There were a large number of people who were Gentiles in that church who had come to faith in Christ, and there was just a minority of Jewish people. And it seems as if there were some prejudices against these Jewish believers. And let me give you the reasons why. Number one, you do, as I understand, that the tension within the early church was probably because the Jews rejected the Messiah and demanded that he be crucified. Can you imagine you're worshiping in a church among Jewish people who had crucified your Lord? Second, persecution of the early believers in Christ came at the hand of the Jews themselves. And so it very well could have been that you were sitting in worship at a home in Rome with a Jewish believer whose uncle had murdered your aunt. It could be that you were sitting in the basement of a home and a Jewish believer was across the room and his father had tortured your son. Now think about it, because we're only 20 years removed, 20 to 30 removed from the death of Christ when Paul wrote this letter to the church at Rome. The third reason that there might have been some prejudice against the Jewish believers is because the Jews as a whole continued to reject the gospel of Jesus Christ in Paul's day. Now there was a remnant, a small number of Jews who had come to faith in Christ. But as a whole, the Jews rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so it very well could have been that some of these believers who were Gentiles in the Roman church were beginning to think highly of themselves and look down their noses at the Jewish Christians. You know, it could be that we've got some people here who've made some mistakes in their lives. Maybe they found themselves addicted to drugs or alcohol. Maybe they've left a spouse and hooked up with another. And it could be that because of mistakes in the past, they're here in worship and you see them and you say to yourself, I would never do what they have done. The words that we are about to read are for you. Because Paul points out in our text that apart from the grace of God, you are wild by nature. Let's stand together as we begin reading in Romans chapter 11 and verse 16. Paul writes and he says, for if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. Now this is an analogy from the Old Testament. the first fruit offering, if you offered a portion of the bread, all of the bread, the whole lump, was sanctified, set apart by God. So too, if the root, he switches analogies now to a tree, if the root of a tree be holy or set apart by God, so are the branches. Verse 17, and if some of the branches be broken off, now the branches that are broken off here are Jews who do not believe in Christ. They come from Abraham, who's the root. They are broken off. They are his descendants, but they are broken off from the blessings of God because they do not believe. If some are broken off as branches, but thou, being a wild olive tree, are grafted in among them, and with them partake of the root and the fatness of the olive tree. This refers to the blessings of God, the riches of God's grace. Do not boast against the branches that have fallen. Because if thou boast, you are displaying your ignorance. You think that you bear the root, but you do not bear the root. The root bears thee. You will then say, well, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well said, but it is because of unbelief that they were broken off that I might be grafted in. And you stand by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, that is the Jews, take heed lest he also spare not thee, that is the Gentiles. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell, severity, but toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou shalt be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if thou were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? Thank you. You may be seated. These Jews that Paul is writing about were descendants of Abram. They were the physical offspring of Abram. Now who was Abram? It's interesting that if you read Romans, Abram is predominant throughout this book. Romans 7 deals with Abram alone. The first portion of this chapter speaks of the seed of Abraham. Half of Romans 9 talks of Abram. Abram was a very important person in the history of the Jews. Who was he? Well, he was a man from Iraq. I mean, that's where he lived. In Bible days, it was called Ur of the Chaldees. And God sovereignly chose to bless. I mean, he called him out of the Ur of the Chaldees. And he said, I'm going to bless you. Now, that's an amazing thing for God to choose to bless somebody wild at heart. Well, but he did Abram. And you read about the blessings of God for Abram in Genesis chapter 15, where Abram says to the Lord, Lord, how are you going to bless me? I don't have a child. Blessings were seen in children in Abram's day. God took Abram by the hand and walked him outside and showed him the sky and said, look at the stars. So shall your seed be. In other words, Abram, I'm going to bless you. Your offspring's going to number like the stars of heaven. The offspring, the seed of Abram, are the Jewish people. Now the Bible says that when God told Abram this, Abram believed in the Lord, and God counted it to him for righteousness. Oh, this is a beautiful verse from the Old Testament, which pictures the grace of God. It is a righteousness that comes by faith in the work of God. And Abram first pictures this for us. He's the father of all of us who believe. What happened to Abram? Abram didn't do a thing. He simply believed what God said he would do. And Abram was considered righteous by God. Folks, that's what it means to be a Christian. It's not what we do. It's believing in what God says, and He credits righteousness to us. This is what is called a righteousness that comes by faith. Abram's relationship with God is a beautiful portrait of God's grace to that person who believes in Christ. Let me show you what I mean. We are dead in trespasses and sins, just as Abram was dead to childbearing. We can do nothing to bring spiritual life to ourselves. Abram could do nothing to bring himself a child. God produces for us spiritual life as He produced for Abram physical life in the gift of a son named Isaac. And Abram's faith in the work of God obtained for him a right standing before God. This is righteousness. Just as our faith in God's work through His Son Jesus Christ brings us a righteousness from God that is independent of our works. Again, this is the righteousness of God, which is by faith. The physical offspring of Abram began to deny this righteousness. Rather than believing in God as their forefather Abram did, and believing that God would provide for them what He said He would provide, a righteousness that is from heaven and independent of our works, they rejected that which is found by faith in Christ and began to establish their own righteousness by works of the law, by what they did. And the Bible says that because of that, these natural branches who were part of Abraham's blessing were broken off by God. And they were broken off because of unbelief. They refused to trust what God was doing through His Son. And so these natural branches, i.e. the Jews, were broken. And the Gentiles in Paul's day began to pat themselves on the back and feel really pretty good. I'd never do what they've done. I'd never reject the Messiah and go about establishing my own righteousness by my good. I'd never do that. I'm better than that. Paul writes and he says, "Do not boast against the branches." Here's the application. You've got somebody that was raised in a way that their life should have turned out different than what it has. And they have fallen. They've done something. Maybe they didn't put Jesus physically to the cross. Oh, but they've done something. They've done something that has broken the hearts of people all around them. And now, as a believer in Christ, you're looking at them and you are saying, I would never, ever do that. Do not boast. Why? I see a few reasons in this text. Number one, you were wild by nature. In other words, if you have come to faith in Christ and you are resting in the righteousness of God which is found in Him, and your heart and your life has been changed and you're following the Lord Jesus, don't boast against those who've been cut off. Because you, by heart, were wild by nature. This is what he says in our text, verse 17. If some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, art grafted into the blessings of God, you cannot boast. He says it again in verse 24 when he says, if you were cut off of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and then have been grafted into the blessings of God contrary to your nature, how can you boast? In other words, before God put his grace upon your life, you were dead to his blessings. You knew nothing of him, nothing of his riches. Before he put his grace upon your life, you were unfruitful in life. You didn't serve God because you didn't even want to know God. You had no thought of him, no love for him. You were wild by nature and headed for the firebrand pit. What do you do with branches that are wild by nature and fruitless? You use them as kindling. They're good for nothing but to burn. And Paul is saying, this is who you were. You were wild by nature, yet you were wanted by another. Verse 18. You were chosen by God, grafted into the blessings of Abraham. This is what he says in verse 18 when he says, boast not against the branches, that is the Jews who have rejected Christ. Do not boast. Have you not forgotten? You are not the one bearing Christ. Christ is bearing you. You have been grafted in by the work of God. You cannot boast. You say, Pastor, why would God ever reach down in his grace for a person as wild as I am by nature and receive me unto himself and graft me in the fatness and into the fullness of his blessings, the olive tree? Why would he do that for me? Well, according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, he does it according to the good pleasure of his will. In other words, simply because he has chosen to. Now you are warned by the apostle in verse 21, where he says, because of this, don't be haughty and arrogant toward the Jewish people. Yes, they are blind. Yes, they are cut off from the blessings of Abraham. Yes, they are. But if God spared not the natural descendants of Abraham because of their unbelief, he may very well one day choose not to spare the Gentiles. Do not boast. Let me see if I can help you understand the direction that Paul is going here. As president of the convention, there are times when I have to meet with different people just because they think that I would speak on behalf of the convention, and they want me to hear them, believing that the convention will hear them if I hear them. And one of the groups of people that I've been meeting with is the homosexual and lesbian activist group in Oklahoma called Soul Force, Judy Bonnet, who does a tremendous job in helping people coming out of the lesbian and homosexual lifestyle, in understanding their faith in Christ, having been a lesbian herself for many years, went with me along with Buddy Hunt, pastor of First Baptist Church Perry, and we sat down with three active homosexuals and or lesbians representing Soul Force. In fact, two of the men that were there were in a what they called a marriage relationship, even though the state of Oklahoma does not recognize that. We met for about 3.5 hours. Now, typically, Christians go into meetings like that with an arrogant attitude. I would never do that. I would never be like, listen, I can understand other types of sins, but I can't understand that type of sin. I would never be like those people. In fact, that's the way that they have been treated by many religious organizations. Representing Southern Baptists, we felt like we needed to represent not only the truth of God's Word, but also the grace of His Son. And so we went into that meeting and we did not compromise the truth. We were very clear that the Scripture says that all adulterers and homosexuals shall have their place in the lake of fire. But we said it in a very soft tone. We said it in a very gracious spirit. We never compromised on the truth that a person will not know God or ever find himself in relationship with God apart from coming to faith in Christ. Because when you come to faith in Christ, you are resting in what God says He will do for sinners rather than doing it yourself. We did not compromise the truth, but we spoke with grace, we spoke with love, and we spoke with a spirit like this. Listen, you know what? If it weren't for the grace of God, there's no telling the kind of person or people we would be. And we're not here in any form or fashion to say to you that you must be like us. Not at all. We are simply saying that we love you, and unless God changes your heart, you may not see what we're saying. But whether He changes it or not, we're not condemning you, because by nature, we're the same way. I was just on the internet this morning, and Fernando Este, who was in that meeting, a member of Soul Force, wrote this about the meeting, and I had not seen it. "It is with much joy and hope that I make this announcement to the world. Today, the loving and compassionate face of Jesus beautifully showed up to me in the faces of three members of the Baptist Church in Oklahoma, traditionally seen as irreconcilable adversaries and enemies. Four members of Soul Force in Oklahoma and three members of the Baptist Church were able to dialogue about issues on homosexuality for 3 hours at the Cottage Hill Presbyterian Church in Tulsa in a loving, kind, and respectful atmosphere. After the meeting was over, I was overwhelmed with feelings of gratitude and peace, knowing and experiencing that dialogue among adversaries was possible even in the midst of years of misunderstandings, hard feelings, and attacks from both sides. They did not compromise what they believed the truth to be, but they reached out to us with spirits of love and of grace. You are warned by an apostle. Do not be haughty toward those who are broken off." But then I want you to finally be warmed by an announcement. And this is the announcement. It's found in verse 24. In fact, it's found 5 times in this text. 5 times in Romans 11. This is the announcement. There is coming a great revival of faith in Christ among the Jewish people. This is prophesied by Paul throughout Romans 11. As we have seen, there's disagreement over when this will happen and how it will happen. But the truth is clear. God is not through with the Jew. Oh, here's the application. You've got someone who's been cut off from the blessings of God, who's been broken off from the riches of the Abrahamic covenant, who doesn't understand what it means to rest in the promises of God found in His Son, Jesus Christ. And they are living their own lives, doing their own thing, seeking something and not finding it. Oh, Paul says, don't give up. God's not done. And just as He was able to take you who were wild by nature and graft you into the riches of His blessing and support you contrary to your nature, He's going to do the same thing for people who've been broken off. This is a great revival among the Jews, but you know what? It also can be a great revival among your uncle and aunt, niece and nephew, brother and brother-in-law, people who because of their actions seem to have been broken off from the blessings of God. Don't give up. If God is able to graft you in and show you the riches of His grace. As Dr. John Gill said about people who've been broken off, God is able to take away their blindness and their hardness and turn them to the Lord. He can, by His mighty power, work faith in them and bring them to Christ. So what is Paul saying? The natural descendants of Abraham in Paul's day were broken off from the riches of God's blessings because of their unbelief in Christ. But don't boast about your faith. Don't be haughty and arrogant that you're better than them, because you were wild by nature, yet you were wanted by another. Now you're warned by the apostle, and be warmed by an announcement that what God has done in your life, He can do in others. When you're with family, and when you're with friends, and you bow your head in grateful thanks for what God has done in grafting you in to His blessings, why don't you breathe a prayer for a person who's been broken off? Breathe a prayer that God, by His grace, will graft them into the riches of Jesus Christ.